Assemblymember Ron, Tom Amiano. The Chair of the Assembly Public Safety Committee is holding a hearing on September 27th in Sacramento on the progress of the BART EPD that they've made on the implementation of the Noble recommendation. And I will be attending that with Chief Rainey and Mark Smith, your independent police auditor. Also joining us will be the Chair and Vice Chair of the Citizen Review Board.
Now we have the pleasure of hearing from our the Chair of the Citizen Review Board to attend today and to share his thoughts or to give us an update on the past couple of Citizen Review Boards, George Perez Velez. Thank you very much, Perez.
Thank you and good morning. My name is George Perez Velez. I'm the current Chair of the Citizen Review Board. I'll refer to the Citizens Review Board
sometimes at CRB just to make it a little smaller, that way we don't have to repeat such a long thing. First of all, thank you very much for having me here today. So good morning, President Franklin, Honorable BART Board Directors. I thank you for the opportunity to present today the input for the Citizens Review Board as it relates to the possible formulation of the service suspension or power down policy during critical emergencies to the BART system. I'll be happy to answer any questions in terms of the work that we've done so far. We have quite a lot of meetings then, but I wanted to concentrate on this because we have a special meeting in Wake on September 2nd, in which the members actually put something put forward for you folks to take consideration once you get all your input on the meeting of the 13th. There were 9 bullet points on that meeting. These bullet points were reached after extensive discussion by the 6 present members and with input from other non-prison members via the Office of Independent Auditor. Please allow me to emphasize 4 points as we believe them to be very crucial. Cell phone service can be suspended only upon the determination that a credible threat has been made to the safety of the public, to BART equipment, or to the BART operational system. A combination of appropriate decision makers must all agree to suspend cell phone service before such suspension can take place. The combination of decision makers would include people outside the BART Police Department, i.e., the following 3 out of the following 4 must agree before cell phone service can be suspended. There was some conversation that maybe 2 out of 3 instead of 3 out of 4. The BART Police Department Chief, the BART General Manager, the BART Board President, and the BART General Counsel. After any interruption of cell phone service, a report must be made to the CRB and the BART, the BART Board to include the nature of the credible threat, the cost associated with the service interruption, the end result of the service interruption, the effectiveness of the service interruption, the number of arrests made, and the duration of the interruption. In addition, this report should be made available to the public. Outside counsel should be consulted on the legal issues involved either before or after the formulation in the creation of a policy to interrupt cell phone service. And lastly, the CRB should be allowed to give input to the BART Board again once the proposed final policy has been drafted. We understand the seriousness of such policy and we're mindful that as a community oversight panel, it is our responsibility to take into consideration all the opinions and concerns of diverse political, economic, and social communities BART serves. We look forward to continuing to give input to this board as needed in the future on the other areas in addition to the BART police oversight work. I would gladly answer any questions now.
Well, first of all, thank you and all of your colleagues for your service to the public. It's been trial by fire. I know we appointed you, and it's been a very busy time, and probably you're investigating also and reviewing one of the most serious things that can happen, which is a fatal shooting. So just want to appreciate all the time that you put in and all the professionals that you brought to this. Just wanted to get your sense, George, of how, you know, ideally, you'd like this to go forward. I think, when we discussed this as a board, there was, a clear direction that, yes, we probably need a policy. This had risen to a matter of policy. We'd also asked the CRB to opine and review it themselves and hold their hearings and go through the process. So how do you see this going forward, and how would you like to see that happen? Would you like to see kind of got the sense of, and you can correct me, a policy drafted for consideration here, but then CRB would get a chance to review it before it is made final, or joint workshop. what would be your pleasure in terms of finalizing this thing?
Well, you know, when you have 11 members on the board, you have to balance what the needs are and the concerns are. So my job as a chair is to balance the equation. So some members were concerned that if we gave some input into a possible policy, that there was not an ability for us to go back and look at it once it's been generated. So we put that in there as well, and I think it serves well. In terms of how we'd like to look at, to see forward, we're looking forward to seeing whatever the ACLU has to say about the possibility of implementation or other members of the community. We are extremely concerned about the implementation of the policy just based on inside counsel. We had a conversation that maybe two, three lawyers might have two, three different opinions. Maybe it might be important to go outside of the agency to get a different perspective. And that different perspective can be balanced against possible lawsuits or possible misconception of the public. So that was really important for us. I think that it is ultimately your responsibility to make this decision. We knew that we were not making policy. We knew we were waiting into the possibility of making this policy. And it was a very, very, very strong discussion for about 2.5 hours. So it was not a simple thing. We would like for you folks to look at all the input from everyone. And you really do have to implement a policy to take into consideration all the pros and cons. And if you find that it is something that Mark wants to do, to implement it. But we did not, our opinion was not based on the yes or no. It was based on if you do have to have this kind of policy. Maybe there's some benchmarks and some things that you have to go through before you implement such a policy or before you make such a decision. There's an operational aspect to the decision. There's a political aspect to the decision. And there's a safety issue to the decision. So maybe all of the three members have to be come together in terms of a full decision about the consequences to the public and to the agency before such a drastic measure can be taken. So we're looking forward to everybody's input. And if we are given the chance again to weigh in again into it. But we understand that you are the elected members of this board, so ultimately it is your responsibility. Okay.
But as a CRB, would you like to review the policy again once you've heard what the ACLU and others, the input from the others, before it bounces out?
That would be quite helpful.
Okay.
I think that it would balance out some members of the community. Mm-hmm. We had 11 members, and 6 were present, and 2 other ones, 4 other ones submitted their input. I can tell you that 2 of them were a little bit more in the middle, and so we're completely against any implementation of any kind of policy. So in terms of getting the consensus going and the need to have such a policy, if it does exist, it would be really helpful to go back to them and say, after full consultation, this is the pros and cons, this is what we need to do.
Thank you.
I want to join Director Dilovich and thank you for all the hard work and effort you put into this. I saw some of your efforts in email trying to just round up the people to get enough people available to have this special meeting. I think we can take a deep breath and slow down a bit at this point and be sure this is properly vetted through a number of different venues if we move to the next step and adopt the policy. And I certainly would support CRB feedback before we make the final decision about whether to go forward or not and what the content of that policy might look like. So I think it would be helpful if you had a full discussion and you did your best. I you did a yeoman job trying to round up enough people to have a quorum, and I do appreciate that hard work, but I think we can just slow down a bit and give you and your panel adequate time to study and review and comment if we move to the next phase and looking at actually implementing a policy. I personally do want to look at what the ACLU input would be and consider those comments. There were some other suggestions from people within this boardroom about how we might otherwise do it. Rather than have a policy, if it was something we needed, we could ask for judicial review if there was time. So potentially, if the department or the agency believed that it was a threat, but there was some time, we could go to a court, ask the court to review the facts and make that determination. I've spent my life in law enforcement. I'm very used to that process, and it can add that extra level of review independence to a decision that otherwise might not look like it's independent. So I think there are a few more things we have to take a look at, but I certainly support, as one member of this board, that the CRB gets another look at it before we make whatever decision we're ultimately going to make.
When you have a chance to look at the 9 points, you see that one of the points are that, for specifically the last demonstration day, where ample notice, or it could be considered to be ample notice, and for those circumstances, we actually included a bullet point that also said, when applicable and when prior notice is given, the judiciary confirmation and permission should be obtained, as well as consulting the FCC. So, I mean, we, as I said before, we're not necessarily saying stand on a policy of approval, but I think that if these steps are taken, I think that overall it will serve the agency well.
Thank you.
President Perez-Velez.
You said that very well, Manuel. I appreciate that.
You know what? You guys have worked very hard, and you came up with something that took a lot of thought, and I'm glad you did this for us because you knew how controversial it was, and you guys just took it and ran with it, and it's thoroughly appreciated. I have to concur with Director Keller that, you know, take a deep breath, let's step back and figure some other things out, because we may or may not need this policy. One of the things that I'd like to see happen, though, we are going to move forward and keep the discussions going, because with all the work we put into this, there's some great ideas, and if we had to go forward, it would be really good for us to do some more public vetting on this as well, because one of the things that hasn't happened, it's been here, I mean, the CRB has looked at what you've done, the BART board, BART staff, but we need to bring more of the public in to talk about this, because I think one of the lessons that we're learning through all this is that the more input, the better. The more people we talk to, the more people we hear from, the better our policy could be if we have to do one. So that's what I want to put on the table. And I just want to thank you guys, because you're doing something that takes a lot of guts to do, and that's look at what's going on with our police department. I just want to say thank you for doing it. I think you were part of the NACOL conference as well, that you go down.
Actually, I didn't go on to be an independent auditor and the vice chair, Sharon Kay, which is also
Oh, you know what? And I do want to acknowledge Ms. Kidd for being here and for being at actually every BART board meeting this year. Since her appointment, she has been here. And it's great that you have a representative who shows up at these meetings, too, because you never know what information she can bring back that's pertinent to what you guys are doing. So, just again, thank you.
If I could say something, and we are not interested in the fast view process or implementation of any policy per se. We felt that since there was a discussion here at the full board and was passed on to us to have an opinion or to have some input, that we needed to do this as quickly as possible. We now have the conversations on when to present this to you folks. Was it we presented on the 13th when everybody's opinion was there, or wait until the following meeting when you actually will consider whether or not to consider a policy? And we said, you know, we take our work seriously. We take from time off from work. We meet on these 2-3 hour meetings. We're interested in being a service to the community and being a liaison between you folks and the community at all times. So we wanted to put our word out, first of all, so that as you are considering whether to or not, that you have our input first and foremost, and then we can just take it from there. But we have done subcommittees on bylaws and regulations. We have a training subcommittee that is working right now to get together to train the commissioners and the work the police does so that we can effectively, intelligently make recommendations. Some of us in the board have had 7 to 8, 10 years of police oversight experience, and we're bringing that in, but there's some other than that. So we're looking for to work as a team, and we're still filling each other out in terms of our perspectives. I'm happy to be the first chair, because that way I can do a little bit of a compromise and then handing the reins to the next person to do the good work. But, I mean, I thank Mr. Rodelovich for the appointment. It's very exciting, and and we are all committed to doing the work before us. Hopefully in the future, if you have any questions or any input that you need, that you'll come back to us, because we're here to serve.
Well, your leadership's been great, Mr. Barnes-West, so thank you for that. Director Rivera?
Mr. Perez, Velez, and Sharon, I too want to applaud the efforts that you made in a very short time, along with our independent police auditor, Mark Smith, to jump into the fray. I just want to also share that my own participation has been very limited. I sit in the back of the room as an observer. That's part of the Brown Act. That's part of the respect that this board shows for your independence. And, I don't want to be seen as meddling in any way whatsoever, but facilitate. And in that regard, your discussion of the 9 points, I took away one of those points that I believe is useful whether or not we develop a policy or not. And that's to identify who in BART has the ability to declare a crisis and what the process is then for the dissemination of that information and involvement of the board. So I think that already I've heard very valid input, and I've shared that with our legal counsel and staff. And please rest assured that your voices are heard.
So
just a practical matter. I'm wondering how members of the public can contact the Citizen Review Board directly, right? Is there an email, crb@bart.gov, or something so that we can make sure that folks, that the messages get to you? I know that when we were meeting with supervisors, they were like, you know, we're getting calls from constituents and they kind of want to be part of the conversation. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be great to get either start collecting an email list of folks who want to get regular notices of your meetings, one, and then two, a kind of a direct way that people could, you know, they can contact the board of directors here, get messages directly to you and your colleagues. So wondering how to sort of set that up so that we have that direct reporter, or maybe, you know, if it's on the website, you can kind of click through and compose an email on the website. Not to give you all more work, but I know that there are folks who definitely, you know, want to be part of this conversation and other conversations that are going to come up. And I'm wondering what we've done in that regard.
Can I make a recommendation to just piggyback on what Director Radulovich is saying? Business cards. They need business cards. They need to have some way to communicate with the public themselves. And I think one or two of you went out and did it on your own, but I think that's something we need to do for you, is to make sure you have a way to let people know who you are. And the website is a wonderful way to, because that's how people find out how to get that in.
I sure can answer that question. You know, we have created an ad hoc committee, which is in charge of looking at website and internet assets. It's been a little bit challenging because if you go, the independent auditor page was just created and is very, very basic. It pretty much has the oversight paperwork. It has the office auditor, the phone number, and how to file a complaint. But it's very, very, very basic. And I think he worked pretty hard to get that going. Board member Sue Angeli is actually part of the subcommittee with Vice Chair Sharon Kidd to get a presence on the website in which people know where the work is, how they can contact us, made either as a link from the independent auditor or as just an independent page. In the city of Berkeley, the Police Review Commission has an independent website, independent of the city, and the Berkeley Police Department, in which they can download PDF files or any kind of other means in terms of filing a complaint. The business cards are a good idea. We use them in Berkeley as well. There always is a caveat here that when the board members go out, they're not necessarily soliciting for complaints. They're just giving people information on where to go if they do have one. So there's a very thin line that needs to be addressed. But I think that we have no real presence in the BART website right now of our existence. Some members and I take BART 3 times a week, and I literally, in between the times I take BART, I talk to people, I say, how are you, I'm the BART board. I take the mission station a lot when I go there for food, and because that way that's the consistency that I represent for you, Mr. Radulovich. And I do, because I speak Spanish, I talk to a lot of the members that are there, and I get a lot of their input. I use that input in terms of what we did in terms of the bullet points and everything that we do. But there is no presence. It can be seen in terms of the attendance to the meetings. This was a very important thing that we were talking about, and the presence was limited. And it can be said that if you have a lot of presence and people aren't going to be able to respond, and nobody is going to have some concerns. So it's a work in process. The independent auditor office is very, very young. We're just in the beginnings of our work, but we're hoping that with time that will improve.
So we have distributed, according to the board, instructions to the FCC, the PUC, the California PUC, the ACLU, and the Citizen Review Board, and we're in the process of collecting or clarifying that information from those organizations. And then what I was planning on doing was requesting our staff to release a draft proposal well in advance of when the meeting occurs, so it allows the public ample time to comment on it, aside from just the Monday before or the Thursday before meeting. And at that time, we can circulate that draft to you well in advance. And then if we have it at a board meeting, if we do take a policy, there's going to be changes at that board meeting that I don't think our attorney on the fly could make those changes. So it would be at a subsequent board meeting where we would finalize the policy if we were to envision some. There's that if, but I think the policy would be the first one. Okay, so thank you very much, Mr. President, for coming today. Appreciate it. Roll call for introductions. Public comments on, is there any public comment on Jordan Frank? That then you're coming up, Mr. Bryant. We have roll call for introductions. Anybody? We have the board member reports. Okay, and then now we have some general discussion and public comments. Next speaker is David. Thank you for, good afternoon.
Thank you. Hello, my name is David, and I report for anybay.org. Most of you know who I am. Not to toot my own horn, but I've done some pretty definitive reporting on the Noble Report, Myers-Navet, the creation of the Citizen Review Board, and so forth. Recently, I read in the media Dan Hartwig asserted that he didn't want to give the impression that BART wants to restrict the ability to demonstrate or report the news. I have to beg to differ on that. I was arrested on September 8th, held in handcuffs for 3 hours, and transported to San Francisco County Jail. Despite having done nothing differently than I had done at other BART protests in the past, despite the fact that I was there as a journalist covering the demonstration with two cameras in my hands and my Intibate press pass around my neck, and despite the fact that I was doing nothing differently than any other journalist there, yet I was the very first person arrested on September 8th. It wasn't an accident that I was arrested either. As I was standing within the detainment circle in Powell Street Station with dozens of journalists and protesters, Dan Hartwig pointed me out for arrest to Officer Caduti. Caduti apparently knows who I am as well, because after he handcuffed me, he asked me if I was David, which is the well-known plume I use only related to my reporting. Dan Hartwig definitely knows who I am, as he's seen me reporting countless board meetings such as this, subcommittee meetings, and protests as well over the last 3 years. As many of you are aware, my reporting is generally critical of BART, but that doesn't give your police the right to arrest me. I had the opportunity to object to my arrest with Dan Hartwig while I was sitting in handcuffs in the Powell Street Station for hours, and he didn't dispute I was a journalist. He told me that journalists can be arrested too if they break the law. I responded that he knew damn well that I hadn't broken the law, and I hadn't done anything differently than any other journalist that was present. At a press conference held while I was in handcuffs in the back, I saw this later, after I was released, Hartwig and Jim Allison made a reference to, quote, legitimate reporters. Allison later made a remark about reporters with agendas. BART doesn't get to pick and choose the reporters that it likes and doesn't like, and, the deputy chief just arrest them. I filed a complaint about my arrest with your new police auditor, Mark Smith, but the way the system works is the auditor only conducts independent investigations for a limited number of cases, mainly those involving police violence or racism. There's a couple other instances. So my complaint will only be investigated by your unaccountable police force, with the final decision on the complaint, again, that I filed against your deputy chief and officer to duty, will be decided by the chief. So you've got the chief deciding something on the deputy chief, and they have up to a year to look at that. I'll also then, I appreciate, I'll just throw this in, that I appreciate you asking the Citizen Review Board how to get in touch with them, because in filing this, trying to file this complaint with the independent auditor, even though he doesn't really get to touch it, it took me 3 days to be able to get a hold of them. I went to the office, I called, no answer, no nothing. Then there's no way to get a hold of the Citizen Review Board either, although all they actually do is review what the independent auditor does. And the independent auditors is basically not going to touch my complaint. Honestly, I'm afraid of further retaliation from your police for reporting on BART issues. I sincerely hope this is not a new precedent that your deputy chief or any other officer would just grab me and arrest me whenever they might be losing their cool at a demonstration. I'm still facing a 369I charge, and I have a court date in October. I'm greatly concerned that there is support for unconstitutional actions by your police, on this board, in your administration, and across your police force. My arrest was illegal. The handcuffing of corporate reporters and telling them later that they were not arrested but had been detained, that's illegal. Requesting that SFPD revoke San Francisco police badges was unheard of, unprecedented. And it was an embarrassment to SFPD when they realized that BART PD had misled them into doing that. Detaining dozens of journalists and protesters without a dispersal order in your so-called free speech zone was illegal. Arresting people for speaking on BART platforms is illegal. And I just want to point out for the record, too, that I hear a lot of talk about protesters disrupting things. Protesters disrupted trains in April 2010, and protesters disrupted trains on July 11th this year. Other than that, it's been your own police force that has chosen to shut down stations. I have myself personally witnessed the Powell Street station shut down during a demonstration in August when five protesters were doing nothing more than handing out flyers. They weren't even chanting. The station was closed for close to an hour. And I can prove that if you need me to. So in short, it's high time for the illegal behavior in BART's police department to stop. The agency should stop sending out emails asking for constitutional and unconstitutional solutions to demonstrations. There's obviously a culture of anything goes in your department, as well as your public relations department. I don't see this board addressing that with any vigor. It shouldn't take civil suits to get BART to follow the law. You guys need to issue, I believe you need to issue more clear demands to those that serve under you regarding matters such as these. I saw a great urgency with the AB 716 legislation that was dealing with the Sacramento issue, as if that's going to be the magical panacea for protests. But I don't see the same sense of urgency when your police, I see public relations, but I don't see the same sense of urgency. You've got Tony Peroni and Marisol Dominici on your police force now. Everybody who knows anything about what they've done knows that they should not be on your police force. Where's the board trying to seek the creative solutions to that? You know, where's the motivation? And lastly, I just want to address my very last comment to you, Bob. I've read some statements you've made in the media recently where you sort of said your best hope regarding protests is, you know, that they will just, dissipate on their own, apathy or exhaustion on the part of those who would stand up and resist a dangerous and unaccountable police force. And personally, to me, I find that sad. Hoping that people won't care, that might be convenient to you and the board, but it'll be bad for people of color, poor, and other so-called marginalized people to continually get abused by BART police.
Well, having this interview by countless people, I don't ever recall seeing it as my best hope.
Okay.
That's besides the point. And thank you for coming today. Director Radu.
Just on that, I don't know about your interactions with Mr. Hartley or Mr. Allison, but I did get an email saying, you know, trying to make this distinction between legitimate and not legitimate journalists, and that bothered me. And, you know, I think that is a matter of policy. We need to, you know, journalists are journalists. You are either our journalist or you are a journalist. And whatever we need to do to clarify, yeah, you've got a press pass, you know, how does that work? You know, what, so journalists know what they're stepping into, and they know what their responsibilities are, and the police do too. Because that's the guy I have to say that's bothering me. The other issue is where the Civilian Review Board may not be able to, you know, because of the way we've circumscribed it, investigate a particular complaint. You know, insofar as this is a matter of policy, they can take it up. You know, if this is a matter of police policy or practice regarding demonstration, then they can have a discussion. They can make a recommendation to the chief or to us about how we should handle it in the future. So whereas your complaint won't get heard by them, insofar as this, you know, is an issue of police policy or practice, I think the way we set it up was we really wanted them to be able to vet those questions and make recommendations. So they've got a lot on their plate right now, and I don't know when they'll get to it, but you can make that request with them. They take it up as a matter of policy or a matter of police practice and say, hey, let's have a discussion with the CRB. Let's see if we need to correct and what those corrections would look like.
I'm totally unfamiliar with the 369 Chief Franny. What is that?
Good morning.
Afternoon now.
Good afternoon. Chief Rainey, Clark Police Department.
369I of the Penal Code deals with disruption of public transportation systems operation. It's a very broad section that anyone that is hampering, hindering, or disrupting the normal operation for the transit system is subject to arrest or misdemeanor.
And one other question. How were the BART police officers determining who a reporter was and who wasn't? I mean, was it badges? Did they have to show credentials? Was it?
We are in receipt of Mr. I believe his name is Morris complaint, mm-hmm. and it is being processed and will be investigated.
Okay. But no, actually you can answer. Normally, how would you have...
We actually,
normal circumstances, how do you
we actually have a general order going protest and how we handle the media. We want the media to cover these type of events. We want them to be credentialed, and those credentials need to be prominently displayed. But that being said, though, members of the media cannot be part of the protest. And then when a problem arises and the police action is about to be taken, you can't come back on the other side of the line and say, now I'm a journalist. And I'm not saying that's what happened with Mr. Morris's case. I don't know. The investigation has not been completed. Not to mention, as he said, he has a court date pending. So a lot of this stuff is forthcoming and will be looked at.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Seeing no further comments or members of the public on this speak, that concludes the September 22nd, 2011 board meeting, and we are going to end this in honor of two people.
In memory of, I just want to make sure we get it
in memory. Dr. Sweet, would you like to?
Yeah, I'd like to join today's board meeting in memory of Louise Westbrook, San Francisco Pioneer.
And then Director McPartland.
Yes, I'd also like to close this board meeting, not memory of anyone, but and congratulations to the federal government for their September 20th, 2011 repeal of the military don't ask, don't tell policy and the termination of discrimination of sexual orientation by the U.S. Armed Forces.
Thank you. Thank you very much.